Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Our series that we began this new year entitled Inspired to Change. This is actually the second message in this series since we missed a Sunday due to the snow. In today's message, I've entitled the same as the series title, Inspired to Change. You know, with the old year gone, how many know the old year is gone? Some people I'm knowing saying, thank God for it, amen. But with the old year gone and a new year begun, we find ourselves, every one of us, in different places in life, even spiritually. But one thing for sure is this, that God doesn't want any of us stuck, bound, afraid, living in the past, or not knowing what to do to change for the better. And so today, with that in mind, I'm inviting you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 in your Bible, amen, at Philippians chapter 3, and we want to read there in verses 13 and 14. Brethren, Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I've not reached the total goal that I'm after in Christ yet. But he said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind the past and reaching forth for the things that are before. I press toward the mark, that means the goal, the aim, the end, for the prize. In other words, to win the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, the scripture says, Paul says, I might not have fully arrived in what I want in my life of Christ. I'm not where I used to be. I might not be where I want to be totally. And how many know if Paul could say that, then certainly we could surely say that. Amen. The great apostle Paul, who wrote over half the New Testament, if he hadn't arrived, then surely we haven't arrived. However, he's reminding us of how we move forward. How we do that is, number one, by putting the past behind us. Amen. By one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind the past, and we are, he says, straining, reaching forward. That means, other translation says, straining forward for those things which are before. This means that with our eyes no longer on the negative or on our hurtful past or the things that disappointed us, the things that did not work out the way that we wanted, our problems, our things that we were unsuccessful in, he's saying if we turn our back on those things and do not focus there, but rather on the things, focus on the things that God has for us, God invites us and wants us to see the bright future that he has for us and believe that. And the only way that we're going to really see that and really experience that is he gave us this great step that we have to completely forget the things that are behind. We in other words, he's saying we can't constantly look in our rear view mirror and drive forward and be successful. You may back up pretty good looking in the rear view mirror and you need that, but moving forward requires you keeping your eyes on what's ahead. And this is what God is saying, and he's reminding us today in this series, Inspired to Change, that there is a bright future for each of us. He wants it to be revealed to us so that you and I can walk in this. One of the great scriptures concerning this is found in Jeremiah 29:11, and God reminds us. And one of the things that we fail, we read a lot of verses many times, and we don't know what context this is in. But in context, the children of Israel were actually in exile, in captivity, when this word from the prophet Jeremiah came to them. And of course, if you're in exile because the nation was because of their disobedience to God, because they worshiped other idols and they did not heed the warning of the prophet, and through their own disobedience, they were taken into captivity. We see this over and over again, and yet the Bible tells us, what does that have to do with us? Clearly, it tells us this, that the lessons that happen to Israel are a lesson for the church so that we would know what to do and what not to do. And in the midst of their disobedience, God gives them a word of great encouragement. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. So the reason I'm saying this is today because in the midst of any despair, discouragement, and say, well, I've missed it too many times, and we're looking at all our mistakes and all the things, God knows all that. If we have repented of those things and gotten them under the blood of Jesus, they no longer exist. And it, to the degree that we can separate ourselves from those things and not allow the lies of the enemy to persist and affect our actions, then to that degree that we don't allow that negative and look forward to what God is actually says about us and believe that would be the degree that we walk in victory in 2025. So he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. One translation says, a hope and a future. Amen. Praise God. So God no longer, not only wants us not to have our eyes on the negative, hurtful past, he invites us and wants us to see the bright future that he has for each of us and believe that. This is a great example of this, and we must know and receive God's thoughts about us. We must know what God thinks about us, and we're going to find that one place. You know where that is? In the Word of God. And because we must know what God's thoughts are about us and what he has, what his thoughts are, and make them our thoughts. Amen. Make them our thoughts. And we have to know that we have the hope and future that God has for us is bright and only good. Everybody say, only good. Say with me, inspired to change. Say it one more time. Thank you. So these are the types of things that inspire us to change. The change I want to inspire this year is not anyone making some New Year's resolution that just peters out because there's no lasting inspiration to carry that out, or really not a clear way of knowing what to do to change. Nor is the change that I'm trying to inspire merely a turning over of some new leaf. Those are the things that the world talks about, but God's children do it a totally different way. You know, God's children aren't called to turn over a new leaf. No, because the scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he already is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, the old life is gone and the new life has begun. This tells me as a child of God, it calls me and you a new creation. Hallelujah. This old life is gone. There's a new life that has begun. And this new life is all about inspiring us to be that person, the one you already are, a new creature in Christ, and becoming that person and living that out by the very power of God that already lives and abides on the inside of you through the power of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say power. Amen. And it's time now for really a spiritual reset in the life of the church at large. In a message in a few weeks from now, I believe I'll be talking about that. But today I want to talk about this spiritual reset that it needs to be in every believer personally. Amen. A personal spiritual reset. Amen. That spiritual reset points us directly to the direction of the will of God for our life. Amen. J.B. Phillips' translation of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, one of my favorite portions of Scripture in the Word of God in this particular translation. We can read this together. They'll put it up, or you could turn there and whatever translation you have. But we're using the J.B. Phillips translation today because of something special, how it words it. How many know that words paint pictures? Amen. Words paint pictures. Blue house, big dog. Amen. Church steeple, all those things I just said, you saw. Because words paint pictures. This is why it's so important. You know, the New Testament written in the Greek language, translated that way for us, is a very demonstrative language. And many times, our one English word doesn't properly convey the full import or the full meaning of the Greek, original Greek intent. And this is why I use different translations. Thank God for all of them if they're accurate renderings of the Greek text. However, the reason I many times quote others other than King James Version, and matter of fact, I've had many people come up to me and say, Pastor Chris, I'm sure glad that you, even though you read from the King James Version, most of the time you go back and explain what it's saying, because if you didn't, I didn't understand it. Praise the Lord. So the point is to understand what God is saying to us. And this is why many times, like today, I'll be reading from different translations, because not to say one is more right than the other, but it paints pictures, the word that it conveys. Case in point here. All Scripture, everybody say all Scripture. All Scripture is inspired by God. So in other words, God's Word says, God's Word that is written right there is God talking to us. Is it given by inspiration of God or is inspired by God? And it's useful for teaching the faith and for correcting error and resetting. Everybody say resetting. Resetting the direction of a man's life and train him in good living. We're going to come back to this resetting the direction of a man's life in just one moment. Notice it says the scriptures, God's word, are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God and fill him fully for all branches of his work. Now, I want us to notice how it says it's the God's word, or the scriptures are the comprehensive equipment. Comprehensive means complete, including all, large in context or scope, or wide ranging. And so in other words, what it's saying is the scriptures are what is comprehensive. It is what we completely need to fully fit us for every branch of work, whether we're a pastor or whether we turn a wrench or whether we're a housewife. All of us are ambassadors of Christ, ministers of reconciliation, and as children of God, we may hold different offices in different places, but God says, nonetheless, wherever you find yourself, you'll find that the Word of God is the comprehensive, the complete thing that we need to equip us for whatever we do, both spiritually and naturally in life. Everybody say, thank God. But as we draw our attention back to this verse 16, where it says the scripture was given for resetting the direction of a man's life and training him in good living. Notice this direction, resetting the direction of a man's life. I believe that the church must awaken to this great reset. You know, everything that happens that God has, Satan has a counterfeit. And we have seen over the last 4 or 5 years a great reset that the world is speaking of, because it's a counterfeit of what God's reset that he has spiritually for his church to affect the world, and for us personally to affect the world by. And this personal spiritual reset is what God wants us to know. And we're going to get there by knowing what the scripture says, not looking at a rearview mirror, and being inspired for change. Being inspired to change. And one of these great inspirational tools, obviously, is the Word of God. And we'll talk about that. But before we do, we want to say with this, I want us to look at it concerning this spiritual reset. Let's talk about James chapter 1, verse 22. It says this to us. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own self. Notice it says that hearing and not doing is self-deception. And so just because we know something doesn't mean we're doing it. So a spiritual reset means this, that we evaluate where we are and we, by the Word of God, head in the direction that God's words reveal. God's Word reveals the direction that your and my life should be on, and we need to evaluate it by the Word of God and allow that to redirect our life, reset our life. And the beginning of a year, really all throughout the year, is a good time to do that, to make adjustments. Because a lot of times people find themselves, well, I know that, but they aren't doing that. And it's what we not just know, it begins with what we know, but it's what we do with what we know that really makes the difference in our life. And I'm warning us, listen, as your pastor, I'm warning us that about this spiritual, personal spiritual reset. Like I say, a couple weeks, I'm going to talk about the big picture of the church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Today, I'm talking about this individual walk that you and I have, that it is our goal. Matter of fact, every person that comes through those doors, they may come for another reason, but we're working as a church, as a staff, to reset the direction of their life through the Word of God. Because if they ever find it what God really believes about them, how He loves them and what He has prepared for them, they will really want to follow that plan. If they ever see how good that really is and can stop looking in the rearview mirror and just finally agree with God and believe what God's Word says about them, accept that, that produces faith in their life and will cause them, inspire the change for them to move forward. And move forward in the plan and the purpose of their life, which is not boring, but is possible and it's totally doable because God's Word tells us that it is. And believe me, if I can do it, anybody can do it. So this personal spiritual reset points us right into the will of God for our life, and that's what we should all be wanting as well. Isn't that right? Amen. So listen to what I'm getting ready to say. The day of doing nothing with what you're hearing is over. It's over. And I'm telling us that, not being sarcastic, not speaking down, but letting us know the time that we live in is so serious and so close to Christ's return that it is a matter of life and death. The truth is, it always has been. But we're feeling pressures that we've never felt before. And there's things happening in this world that have never happened before. A lot of times people say, well, all these things have already happened. No, we're seeing the signs of the time that are pointing to Jesus' soon return. The rapture is signless, but the second coming is full of signs. That shows you how close we are to the rapture, but also if we're that close to the rapture and we're that close to the second coming, rather, hallelujah, which will happen 7 years after the rapture, then how close are we to the rapture of the church? And so this is why we must let the Word of God reset the direction of our life and to realize the day of doing nothing with what you're hearing is actually over. You see, the purpose of change that I want to inspire won't hurt you. It would only help you. And it's for each of us to be more Christ-like. After all, isn't that what every believer is supposed to be? And isn't that where the Bible tells us our total victory lies in? Not how far we could be like the world, not how far left we can be, not even how neutral we can be, but how red hot we can be and how far in Christ we can go. And it is possible, not impossible, and it's certainly not boring. Because if we do it God's way, we find it from the Word of God that the sinner followed Christ wherever they went, because he offered the hope and future that God designed. Maybe our question should be, is anybody trying to find out from our lives what God is offering them? And then make those adjustments. All of us could say that. Amen, including myself. And the change I want to inspire, obviously, is more of God. Us wanting more of God in our lives. So we got to know what that looks like. Not in theory, but in practice, and how that is obtained in our lives. For whenever God and the things of God become more real to us, then we are inspired to change. See, the things of God, when they become real to us, we are inspired to change. Hallelujah. Especially when we start believing. Everybody say believing. When we start believing, we can have those things and the positive and those positive change they produce in our lives by simply believing and receiving them. And we can, every one of them. I'm going to ask them to put up slide 14. And in it, it has 4 points. These are things that inspire change. Things that inspire change. We're going to talk about these 4 things. And we're going to not take too much time, but we're going to spend enough time on each one briefly to unpack that a little bit so that you understand these are things that inspire change. Number one, the number one thing that I want to talk about is us knowing who God is. And no matter who we are and how close of a relationship that we have with God, God is so big, God is so great, God is so deep, praise God, that it's going to take all of our lifetime and eternity to keep and knowing God. That's how great God is. Amen. And so this obviously inspires positive change when we know who God really is. In other words, when I say knowing who God is, I'm talking about the nature and character of God. The nature and character of God lets us know who he is, and in knowing who he is, we also find out what he does, what he's like, what he does, and what he doesn't do. Having to know, it comes down to something this simple but so profound. God is good, the devil is bad. So profound, yet so simple. God is good, the devil is bad. See, knowing the nature and character of God is so important for us. Because if we're confused about what God does and doesn't do, that means that we're confused who he is. And if I were your enemy, I would tell you, I would convince you, if I was your enemy, I didn't exist, number one. And then number two, if I was your enemy, I would convince you that the one who really loved you hated you. And that's what the devil works to do, to try to blame on God the very things that he's responsible for in our lives. And he has quite a good following, not only evil spirits, but he also has many well-meaning believers believing and propagating some and attributing to God the very works of the devil. How many know that Jesus had that same problem when he walked this earth? They were called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Isn't it sad, you see, that the Sadducees didn't even believe in the resurrection of the dead? They didn't believe in angels or spirits. And they led the nation, the religious nation, but they were more politically, we better watch it, they were more politically motivated than they were spiritually dominated. And obviously, they did those things inspired by the enemy. There's nothing matter with us taking a stand politically, but everything we do politically, it should come out of the source of something spiritual and what God has said. Yeah. Amen. So with that being said, the Pharisees had all their rules and everything. And you know, Jesus actually looked at them and he said, I'm not so sure he was really kind that day, but he was really to the point. He said, you are of your father, the devil. But he told them the truth. Yeah. And so imagine this. You know, Jesus said that if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. At the time Jesus showed up, the very religious structure of Israel were led by two groups, two spiritual groups that were far from God. And Jesus showed up with a different message. In other words, he didn't change the Word of God. He showed the true intent of the Word of God. And he interpreted it through saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So it's simply, if we want to know what God's like, nature and character, knowing who God is, we have to look no farther than the person, the life, and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Come on. I'm going to say it again. If you want to know what God looks like, thinks like, will say, all you have to do is look at the life, the ministry, and the words of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. John chapter 14, verse 9. Now, Jesus also said concerning who he is in the nature and character of God. He said, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. Write it down, John 10, 10. The thief only comes, Satan comes, he's the thief, not God. The things that try to steal from your life are not from God, they're the devil. The thief comes only but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, to the full, to overflows. All of you drove by with you, whether you looked at it or not this morning, that pretty fountain note there. It was on this morning. The water comes out. That's the picture of an abundant life. It actually means a overflowing fountain, to the full and overflowing. That's the picture of the abundant life that Jesus said he came to bring. And if we're not experiencing the abundant life, we there's something that we don't know about who God is that we should. Also, concerning knowing who God is, in Psalms 119, verse 68, you can write it down. It just says that God is good and doeth only good. And so these are things that we need to understand. 1 John, write it down. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, God is love. And, newsflash, he's in love with you. And all the bad things that are happening are not because he's not in love with you, but because your sin many times opened the door to the enemy of your soul, Satan. They're not God's way of teaching you something. They are open doors for the devil. Our disobedience is an open door many times for the enemy to come in and to steal, kill, and destroy. This is why God hates sin. Because number one, it separates you from him. Number two, it works as an enemy to destroy, steal, kill, and destroy in your life. So we need to know that God is actually love and he's in love with you. God demonstrated his own love towards us that even while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us, the scripture says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 lets us know that he died for those who could care less about a loving God. Just think about this. When you could care less about God, even have thoughts about, could care less about him, doing your own thing, God was in love with you so much that he planned from eternity past to send his son. And he counted the work before Christ ever came done. And even after done, so that by believing him at some point in our life, through our faith in Christ, whether in the Old Testament he had not come yet, and now New Testament he's already come, whether we look back at the cross or forward to the cross, our faith in Christ saved us. That's how good God is and how he loves us. Amen. And so when we know he loves you and he wants you to really know him and spend time with him, these are the things that begin to change us. When he makes himself, his promise is to make himself real to us. Amen. That's what he said. He promises to make himself real to us and will manifest himself to us. John 14, 21 tells us this. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, you can write it down. It says, without faith it's impossible to please God, for those that come to him must believe that he is. See, I'm inspiring the change that causes us to believe that God is. When you believe that God is, you want to run to him because you know he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Not casually, but diligently. And this is why this spiritual reset is needed. Number two, knowing who God made you inspires change. First, originally, write this down. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, it did not say you came through an explosion. It did not say that you came through a big bang, or an evolution process. It says that God said, and then God saw. God created man. When God wanted animals, He spoke to the dirt, and what He spoke to the dirt came out of the dirt exactly what He spoke. But when God wanted you and me, He had to speak to Himself, and what God spoke came out of Him exactly what He spoke. That's why He created us in His likeness, that's spiritually, and in his image and His likeness, or in His likeness spiritually, and His image physical body. So we see that God created you and I, and because God created you and I, that means that you and I have divine purpose in life. We're not an accident. We didn't get here and we don't know. We left scratching our head. No, but for God the Creator to create us, it means we have the divine purpose, and meaning has life and have a divine direction to go in. But see, what happened is when man fell in the garden, then he lost that knowing. He lost that clear revelation and understanding. This is why we have the written word of God to us. And the moment that we see what happened to Adam and Eve when they went into darkness and they died, God came to them and he not only made skins out of animals as a sacrifice, showing the picture of the atoning work in the blood that not only produced forgiveness, but it was a picture of the Lamb of God that would come. God's only way was through blood and the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. And it painted the picture of a restored relationship with God then, but what He would ultimately do through Jesus Christ for the entirety of mankind, for the whole world, so that you and I could have a living relationship with Almighty God again and be restored back just like Adam and Eve was. And so we see this again, the original intent of God for man to walk with Him. And you say, well, how are we changed by that today? Good, I'm glad you asked. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says this. It says, for we are God's masterpiece, and He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so that we can do the good things He planned before of us long ago. So notice, we have become God's masterpiece. And how we became God's masterpiece is He recreated us new. In other words, our spiritual death that we had taken on by sinning against God now is replaced by eternal life. And now we are recreated. We are made new. And we are recreated in the same identical life and nature that Jesus Christ has Himself, which is the nature of God, and we're restored back unto God. This is why 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, I'll be reading that from the New Living Translation. This means anyone who belongs to Christ, do you belong to Christ? Then you have become a new creature. You're not an old creature no more. You were a sinner. You were a sinner. Yes, you are saved by grace, and that makes you a new creature in Christ. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. Everybody say, thank God. Number three, back to the slide, things that inspire change. Number three, knowing what God has provided for us. Amen. Our inheritance. You want to talk about something that inspires change. In other words, us wanting to dig in, to find out what belongs to us. This is one of the things that just cranked my tractor back in the day. 38 years ago, when I found out that God had left me an inheritance, I made sure I showed up for the reading of the will. You know when the reading of the will was? Whenever the church doors open. Because every time, if it's done right, there's part of the time, there's a reading of the will. It's finding that what God has done for us in Christ is called an inheritance. And Ephesians 1:3 says it so well. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, hath blessed us," past tense, "hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, don't get confused by this. Many times people say, "Well, I'm blessed in the heavenly places." That's telling us that's the source of all the spiritual blessings. But they're here for us, because whatever Christ has and whatever heaven has belongs to me right now. One translation says, the Norley translation says, "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath already blessed us and already blessed us in our union with Christ with every spiritual blessing that heaven itself enjoys." So how many know when you find out what those blessings are? How about two of those blessings? There's many benefits and many blessings, two of which are found in Psalms 103, verse 2 and 3. If this don't crank your tractor, then your wood is, then your battery is dead. I'm here to jump start it today. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits." Benefits, forget not all of his benefits. Here's two of them. Verse 3, "Who forgives all my iniquities, my sins, and heals all my diseases." If God didn't do nair thing, you understand nair thing? If God didn't do anything else other than to forgive me of my sins and heal me of all my diseases, it's enough to run around this room for the rest of the service and thank him and worship him for the rest of life. Can I get an amen? But if that won't enough, he said something like this in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Why is this so important? Because when we are things that inspire changes, knowing what God has provided for us in Christ and heard this, listen to what this says from the Passion Translation. "And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures." Now notice, we qualify to share all his good treasure. We qualify. You don't qualify because you're 15 or 25 or 35 or 95. Honey, you don't qualify because you're black or white or because you're at some social economic status or because that you got a family name or a crest on your plaque that's at the end of your road. You don't qualify by any of those things. But here's how you qualify: by becoming true children of God. And how do you and I become true children of God? Is it because we have a special gender or a special choice or anything? No! We become children of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:26. That's the only way, or we ain't his children. Yeah. Hallelujah. And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures. Woo! Glory to God. "For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has." Oh, glory to God. If that don't make you want more of him and dig into our inheritance, then I don't know what else will. Praise God. These are things that inspire change. I know I could spend much more time here. Number four, the fourth thing that will inspire change is this: knowing how to receive and walk in those benefits and blessings. See, when we talk about these things, this is why we come back all the time, because we further get understanding of what these things are by coming together, by a pastor teaching them, other ministers, other people. We encourage one another in these things. We find out what they are and then begin to know how to receive them and walk in those benefits and blessings. Listen, all these things are not hidden from us, they're hidden for us. And they're found in his word. Amen. Because God's word contains God's thoughts, and God's word is God speaking to us, and they're all received by his free grace through our faith. So we can say like this: God's grace is God's hand revealing. what he's given us, the inheritance that he gives, freely gives, that is unearned, can't be earned. We don't even deserve it, and God don't want us to be confused and think we deserve it. He says, you can't do nothing to earn this. This is a gift from me. It's all grace. It's unmerited. It's unearned. It's because I love you. It's because I'm gracious and I'm loving. I give you this. And when he provides that and we know that, then that gives us another gift. It's called faith. In other words, the ability to believe. And just like God's grace is God's hand extended towards us, when we hear that, then our faith is our response to that grace. And we put hand to hand and we receive from God what he freely gives us as man, as his children. And these things inspire us to actually push in and to receive from God. All that he freely gives us by his grace. God didn't make it hard, but many times this is one reason why we keep coming together, because it inspires us, because we hear and we see how to do it. And then we see that other people, how they've done it. And we've done it because of what we just obeyed God and his word. See, all these four things, knowing who God is, knowing who God has made you, knowing what God has provided for us in Christ as his children, knowing how to receive and walk in those benefits and blessings, all of these things inspire change, not religion. I'm not talking about some dead list of duties, of do's and don'ts. I'm talking about a living relationship, a personal living and growing relationship with the only true and living God. These are the things that when understood and done right in our lives changes us, because we know how to change. We know God's intent of them and how to be changed by them. And we are the ones that are changed. And this is the change I want to inspire in us as our lives are reset in the direction that God has for it. It begins and ends by what God says to us in his word. Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. When we find and know the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, when we find out what the will of God is, and we know and believe what God says about himself and us, that is when we're changed. That is when the Bible says we become transformed. It's by the renewing of our minds. And the renewing of our mind means a continual, ongoing process of change, where we exchange our way of thinking for God's way of thinking. See, our way of thinking may have been wrong about God, about ourselves, about what God gives and what God doesn't do. God expects us to know his word, because his word is him talking to us, so we're no longer confused. And we accept what he says about us. And when we find out the things that he says, and we have I know the thoughts that I think, once again, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, say God, thoughts of peace and not of evil, that you may have a hope for the future. I guarantee you there's not one person that would come to this church or any church and think in their mind that God only has good plan for their life, because the enemy of their soul has convinced them through struggles in life, through what they've heard preached, but what they heard said, and by the actions of people, that is interpreted for them an untrue picture of God, yet they've accepted it. And it makes them harder many times to believe this, because people have a tendency to believe something else other than what God has said, because they've heard the other so long. This is why it has to be a renewing of a mind. It's a continual change, the exchange of our thinking for God's thinking. But we can do it. Amen. And when we find out about God, about his truth that's only found in his word, it inspires us to know more about him. And this is what I want to inspire you and I this year, to want more of him Are you hungry for him? I want to encourage you, if you were not here on Wednesday night, go back and listen to Pastor Debbie on Wednesday night. I'm telling you, what a powerful service. What a powerful word that she brought that would dovetail a lot of what I'm talking about today. I think you should put your hands together for it. It was powerful. Amen. It was inspiring. Amen. It moves us to action. But it was the heart of God. It was the heart of the Father. It was the heart of the Father because He wants us. He wants us blessed. He wants us to, because He knows that us wanting more of Him will only allow Him to do not only what He wants to do in our life, but to do in this earth. And that's where true change happens, and that's where good things happen. And really, when our heart is right, that's what we want anyway. And so maybe a good place to start in all of this is just inspiring us to take what would be your next step. Because we're all in different spots. We just don't want to be stuck. You don't want to be discouraged. You don't want to be stuck in the past. You don't want to be downtrodden. You don't want to be depressed. You don't want to be even in neutral. You want to be moving forward in the things of God. And so in all of this inspiring change, we have to identify what the change can look like. That's what we've been talking about, how to do that. But where would that look? Sometimes we just need to know where that would look like in our own life and for us to take our next step or steps in deepening our relationship with God and receiving what He has for us. You know, how many know that it would begin by us in all of our lives just obeying God and stop calling our own shots? Just obey God and stop calling our own shots. That's a good place to start, wouldn't it? Especially if we want to receive what He has for us. But let's talk about this with the time that we have left today. For sure, it will always begin in this or with this safe place. Get right with God. Get right with God. Getting right with God in your own hearts by coming God's way. And God's way is Jesus Christ. So what that means is, if you're unsaved in here today, you're in the best place you could ever be right this moment. Because you're in a place where you could actually receive Christ. You're in a place that you've heard the truth. You're confronted with a decision. But you better be thank God that you are confronted with a decision, a choice to receive Christ. Amen. Because of God's love. If we are unsaved, then our next step is to get right with God. It's that simple. The truth is that we come God's way when we do. It's as simple as repenting of our sins, receiving Jesus, and receiving the gift of eternal life. Settle it today and get saved. Salvation is not a hope-so salvation. It's a no-so salvation. And you must make that choice. And maybe you're here today and you're away from God. Maybe at one time you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe at a vacation Bible school as a child years ago. Maybe even at this church. But in your heart of hearts, you know that you're not where you're supposed to be. You know what the Bible calls is backslidden. But the Bible says that He's married to the backslider. And you know that there's sin that separates you. Well, today is a day to rededicate your life to Christ. Today, that's two steps. Either to come to Christ for people, amen. Listen, it all begins by getting right with God. And we all have to do that. That's the first step. And maybe the second one I talked about is maybe you are in the position that one time you received Christ, but you're not walking with Him. And you're inspired today to say, God, I want my sins to be gone, and I want to follow You. I want to make a commitment and follow You with my life. Today, I want to inspire that change. Here's a good one. Listen, maybe there's someone new to CFC. You're here, you've been coming, you know you're saved, you know you love God. Praise the Lord. And that's what I'd say. Everybody say, praise the Lord. You've been coming, and you're turned on by the Word. You're turned on by the Holy Spirit. You love what you're receiving. Here's your next step. Give us 1 year of your life. Give us 1 year of your life. Come every time the doors is open. Every time you can that the doors are open, make sure you bring your Bible, something to take notes with, follow along, do your best by taking the notes you can, and then take them home and go back over them and begin to apply them and do them in your life. And I challenge you, if you would do it like I just said, I'm not talking about coming twice every year. I'm talking about coming every time the doors open, at least every time that you can. I know people's schedules and work and all that, but come every time you can. Take notes. Amen. You can watch things online, but take notes, amen, on the ones you miss live, because it's something about being here. Something about being here that you can't get the other way all the time. So as you begin to take notes and begin to apply them, I challenge you, if you give us 1 year of your life and look back at your life and you can tell me, honestly look at me and say nothing's changed, then I will stand up and say I'm a liar. But I can tell you that will never happen, because by doing the Word, you will be totally changed. How many people in here can say I've been totally changed? Jessica Jones, you're here. Would you come one moment and would you share just briefly where you were and where God got you by what I'm talking about in here today? Would you come? Can you do it? Let's put our hands together for her. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, she don't know I'm doing this, but do you mind? No, that you don't mind. Come on, preacher woman. Praise the Lord. You can come up here if you like and stand. That's fine. Just thank you. Amen. Tell them your story.
Okay. I would just like to start and say that without Cornerstone Fellowship Church, my life would not be what it is today. We've probably been coming for a little over 2 years, and when we first started coming, I had depression, anxiety. I had a lot of health concerns and health issues. Since coming to Cornerstone, I've got my husband here. My parents have returned. My boys are in the youth group, in the bag. It's been wonderful. I came to the Healing Center. I actually was scheduled to have an organ prolapse surgery again. After coming to the Healing Center, I canceled that appointment. I never had to go back and have the surgery. I was healed here at Cornerstone. And like I said, I had no anxiety, no depression. I had an alcohol addiction that I was not able to break on my own. I came and turned it over to God, and I'm completely, you know, just the chains have been broken. I'm free. I don't have, you know, my husband's here. My son was diagnosed before we came with Asperger's syndrome. He doesn't even display any of the symptoms. And God gets all the glory for it, because there's nothing, you know, that I could have done. And Pastor Chris just invited anyone who just started coming to do that year. I said we've been here for 2 years, and that's what I've experienced in the course of 2 years. 1 year will change your life. So, and I thank the church for everything, and I thank God. So,
praise the Lord. Wonderful. Wonderful, sis. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, if you follow her, she's sitting in the very back, her and her husband sitting in the very back. Not too long ago, about a month and a half or so ago, because I'm used to them sitting up here. And about a month and a half ago, I asked them, 2 months probably now, I said, you know, there's no cheap seats in the church. That means there's a good view everywhere. Okay, that's what I mean by, I said, when there's no cheap seats. I've had people say, I was wondering what you meant by that. I said, yeah, okay. What I mean by that is there's a good view wherever you sit. You can see wherever you're at. But I said, I'm just glad you're here. But can I ask you why you're not up front like you used to be? She said, because we've invited all these people. And we told them that when you come to church, you look for me on the back bench. I'll be waiting for you when you come. Amen. Come on. That's a light. That's her and her husband. That's her and her husband. Is Mike, are you here? Mike Eckelin, are you here today? Well, come on here, brother. Now tell your story. Now, this is her dad, but this don't have nothing to do with that. I mean, praise God. I know he's proud that she's. Now, you tell your story about what you said to me the other day in the service.
I'm definitely not a public speaker, but the Holy Ghost can help me out here. I was talking to Pastor Chris, and I said, first of all, you're the pastor, and you know exactly what you're talking about, but I was wondering why you don't push more for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, this is my experience. I pick up the Bible, and I'd read the Bible, and I did not understand the Bible. I'd get another version of the Bible and I'd read that, and I didn't understand it. After coming here and taking notes, and me and my wife would go home and we'd talk about what was said in the service, and we'd just kind of quiz ourselves, and we had a great time doing that. But a lot of things I still didn't understand. And one night, we came into the service on a Wednesday night, and before Pastor Chris even started the service, he offered for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I went up. I had actually spoke to Pastor Doug before that, and he suggested it, but I think it was a little while before, you know, that time came. But he looked at me and he said, "That's you, boy." And ever since then, since I've been filled, I can read the Word, I can understand the Word. It's changed my life. Before we came here, honestly, you know, we went to a Baptist church, and nothing bad about the Baptists. At least I was in the house of the Lord, but it wasn't taught, and that's what a lot of people are missing. They're not taught the Word, the whole Word, the whole truth. And here at Cornerstone, that's what's important to all of us, that we get the truth every time we walk in this door. And I thank our pastors, and I thank this house of God.
Thank you. Thank you. Everybody say inspired to change. Thank you. I love you. Thank you for sharing your heart. Amen. Come on, Brother Ryan, help me out. Hallelujah. So sometimes the inspiration to change comes from others. Because as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We need one another, and it's different that when, you know, we're by ourselves and we the things that come to our mind, and we can cut, you know, we could be at home. I thank God that we could be at home and watch this. Thank God for everybody online. But that person could cut me off and say, "I got to go to the bathroom. The pastor's preaching long again. Praise God." I know you can go to the bathroom here. And sometimes you said, "If pastor don't go, I'm going to finish up. I'm going to..." Whatever. But there's something about being in the house of the Lord, because I can tell you the Spirit of God moves in a way which, and He uses people, amen, He uses what God has done and worked in people's lives, and they are just two examples of the many of lives that have been changed, inspired to change. And so today, I'm inviting any person that have never made Jesus the Lord of their life, in just one moment, to give Him your heart. Invite Him in. You say, "I don't know how to do that." This is what we exist for, to help you do that. Or those that at one time walked with God but have gotten away from God, I invite you to come back today. And then, last but not least, what Brother Mike said There's a difference between being born of the Spirit, being saved, know you're saved, know you're on your way to heaven, and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. There's one coming after me. I'm not the Messiah, but there's one, he is, that's coming after me. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. And Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you should be my witnesses. Not only is he going to make you a more powerful witness, but this Holy Spirit, who is the teacher and the author of the Bible, begins to teach us and brings revelation to us and makes the things of God so much alive and real, makes God more real to us, but also, amen, helps us to understand the Word of God and gives us power to be witnesses for him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.